John chapter 13. And I'd like to call your attention to it at this time. John chapter 13 and verse 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. This message that Jesus gave his disciples followed the feet washing service, where he himself got up from the table, where he had instituted his own memorial service with the bread and wine, and then he laid aside his outer garment, put on an apron, poured water into a basin, and got down and began to wash the disciples' feet. And after he did that, then he gives them this lesson. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet. Jesus Christ was not just an ordinary person on this earth. He was Lord and Master. And yet, he washed their feet. And then he said, I've given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Now that's contrary to our human nature to want to get down and wash people's feet. But Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. There's an incredible satisfaction or blessing that comes in the life, in the mind, in the heart of a child of God who knows to serve others, and he does it. It brings happiness. If you know these things, happy. How many of us want to be happy? I do. And there's happiness in being a servant, not being served, but being a servant. I want to notice with you over in Mark chapter 10 an expression that came to my mind. You know, let's look here for just a moment in verse 35 of Mark chapter 10. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And Jesus said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? Now, if Jesus said to you all tonight, y'all can ask what you will and I'll do it for you, what would you ask for? Well, I hope you wouldn't ask what these two brethren asked for, James and Zebedee. Notice, they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. They're asking for a place of preeminence in the kingdom of God. One of us wants to be on your right side. One of us wants to be on your left side. In other words, they are wanting preeminence. They're wanting high positions in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus, notice now in verse 41, and when the ten heard it, the other ten apostles heard what James and John were asking for, they began to be much displeased with James and John. It would be like somebody, say two members of Cool Springs Church said, now, they got up in our conference meeting and said, we want to have a position of preeminence in this church. We want to be recognized. We want everybody to recognize us and really show us a place of preeminence. How would the rest of y'all feel? Come on now. Y'all wouldn't like it, would you? Well, that's how the ten feel toward James and John. But when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus said and called them to him and saith unto him, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority among them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, your servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Now that's right contrary to the world out, you know, to the government or to sports or to the workplace. But in the kingdom of God, the greatest among us are those that serve the most. You know, if you're trying to determine how valuable a man is in nature, you might want to find out how much money he's got or how many people work for him. You know, if a man's got 10 employees and another man's got 500 employees, you'd probably say, well, the man with 500 employees is a much greater man than the man with 10 employees. That's how we think in nature. But in the kingdom of God, it's right the opposite. Those who serve the most are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so let's notice now in verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus says, the Son of Man didn't come into this world to be served or to be ministered to, but he came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now the question, I guess, tonight would be, how many of us want to be like Jesus? I hope we'd all say, yeah, Brother Sam, I want to be like Jesus. Well, to be like Jesus, you're going to have to be a servant and you're going to have to give, because Jesus came to serve and he came to give. And that's what our text says. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. During the 33 years that Jesus was on this earth, he was ministering to other people, and he was giving, constantly giving of himself and blessing people with many things that he provided for them. So, beloved, in the kingdom of God, we're to be servants to one another. So, Jesus gave this example of feet washing. And I want to tell you, that is, you know, we're so familiar with it until we just kind of take it for granted. But honestly, if you just sit back and think about it a little while, that's shocking that the God of the universe would come down from heaven and move into a human body. And in that human body, he would go around serving others and finally get down on his knees and wash the feet of those rugged apostles, those fishermen. That's shocking. Y'all don't look shocked because y'all have heard it so much, haven't you? But the truth is, it's shocking. Just think about it. If the President of the United States came in here tonight and took off his coat and put on a towel and started going around washing everybody's feet, I'd be shocked. But that wouldn't be anything compared to Jesus doing that. The creator of the universe, who said, let it be, and it was so. He created the heaven and the earth. And he came down here and was born of the virgin, lived in that human body for 33 years, and just went about serving. One of the scriptures over in the Acts of the Apostles, I think, is maybe the greatest commentary on the earthly life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's found in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He just went about doing good. And he was kind. When you all read about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see him being kind to people. Just, you know, I would love for Cool Springs Church to be known as a kind church. When people visit us, I'd like for them to leave saying, wasn't that a kind bunch of people over there? They all spoke to me. They made me feel welcomed. They invited me to stay for dinner. Do y'all like to be around kind people? Well, Jesus was kind. When you go back to your job tomorrow, and somebody came into the office where you work or where you work and said, who's the kindest person here? Wouldn't you like to think, well, maybe it's they'd think of me? Kindness is a wonderful thing. It's in short supply in this country, sadly, because there are so many people who are self-centered, all about me. But in the kingdom of God, in the church, you and I are to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Amen? The church is a place where you and I are to try to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And Jesus gave us an incredible example of service when he took a basin of water and got down on his knees and began to wash those men's feet. If he had washed their hands, that would have been amazing. If he'd have washed their face, it would have been incredible. He got down and washed their feet. Are y'all getting this? I don't know how to make it any more amazing than it is. It's just amazing. It really is genuinely mind-blowing that the God of the universe would come down here and instead of sitting on a throne and waiting for everybody to come and wait on him, he goes around feeding everybody. If Jesus found somebody lonely and brokenhearted, he comforted them. If he found somebody sick, he ministered to them. If he found somebody hungry, he fed them. Have y'all noticed that about Jesus? He just went about doing good. And he's our great example. And I know this, I know all of you here tonight, in your hearts, you're like that, and I commend you for that. And we're to be more like Jesus. Now, the devil doesn't want us being that way. The devil wants us to be grouchy. He wants us to wake up grouchy in the morning. He doesn't want y'all to wake up happy. And y'all probably heard the story about the lady who went to the doctor, and And the doctor was examining her, and he said, "Do you wake up grumpy in the morning?" She said, "Oh, no, I let him sleep." How y'all wake up in the morning? Now, I know the devil is right there. He's always on my shoulder when I gain consciousness. It's amazing how... Now, the devil is not omnipresent, but his demons seem to be everywhere I've ever been. They get around, don't they? They make arounds. And he's going to be at your house trying to upset everything between the husband and the wife, the parents and the children. He's always on the job. But, beloved, if we would all just model the life of Jesus Christ, instead of us sitting there waiting on the wife to go get me a cup of coffee, I get up and offer to get her a cup of coffee. Would that go over well? It does in my house. I tell you, when Nelda gets up in the morning and we make coffee, and by the way, I have been on a coffee high, caffeine high. I took 4 espressos coming home Thursday night from Arkansas. She stayed up to be with her sister for surgery. And I had Molly with me, so I couldn't stop at a motel. I tanked up on caffeine. I had that caffeine chewing gum going. And I was afraid I might get sleepy, so I stopped at a Love service station, and they had coffee in there that they said it's got extra caffeine. I got me a big cup of that. I got home at 12:30. I didn't even get sleepy till about 2:30. And I've been on a high ever since. That stuff is his work for me. I couldn't even take a nap this afternoon. Y'all know that's out of character for me because I'm a napper. I did read where people who started these coffee breaks, it's not for the benefit of the employee. It's for the benefit of the employer. Because those employers want the employees to be alert. They give you a coffee break in the afternoon, keep you going. They want you to serve them. Well, the truth is, beloved, you and I, on this earth, are here to be servants. That's why Jesus Christ put us here, to serve our wives, to serve our husbands. You want a peaceful home? Do for your spouse. Do for your children. And you children, are y'all listening? Y'all, they're taking notes. That's good, isn't it? You know, I said this morning, you forget in 72 hours, 90% of what you hear, so they're taking notes. I want your children to remember to do for your parents. Would you parents say amen? The parents are agreeing. Y'all want your parents to be happy? Do for your parents. Don't just sit around waiting for mom and daddy to do everything. Amen? My mama, bless her memory, her last 5 kids were all boys, and she wanted a girl so bad at the end when I was born. And I was the only one born in the hospital. All the rest of them were born down the street here. And when I was, the night I was born, she said, "Dr. Bell, what is it?" And he said, "Ruby, it's another boy." And she said, "Well, you can have him." Mama gave me away. I mean, the night I was born. You know what? She was wanting a girl to come in and help sweep the floors and wash the dishes and make the beds. Well, I want to tell you, Mama taught us all how to do that. Boys can do that. You boys, y'all can learn to wash dishes, make beds. Everybody in the house ought to be helping. Amen? Boy, those were quiet amens. Listen, if you want a happy home, let everybody help. Don't spoil your children. In my opinion, spoiling a child is a serious form of child abuse. Because I want to tell you, when they get grown, they're not going to be, nobody's going to be wanting to spoil them. Unless they're super rich. So, in the home, we all ought to be servants. In the church, we all ought to be servants. In the neighborhood, we all ought to be servants. Jesus got on his knees and washed their feet and said, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. And I want to just tell y'all tonight, we all just ought to go through life being servants, visiting the sick. You know, James said, pure and undefiled religion. You know what it is? Being at church every Sunday? He didn't say that. Now, I want y'all to be here. That's fine. But that's giving a lot of money. He didn't say that. You know what he said? Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to visit the widows and the orphans and keep yourself unspotted from the world. And I tell you, beloved, these widows, when we have some in our church, homebound members who can't get out and go, and you and I, now, Sister Jamie's going to be having a 100th birthday. I want to call it anniversary. She's going to have a 100th birthday this month. Let's all plan to go. What do y'all say? Now, she's blessed to live in her daughter's home where her daughter waits on her. And I know her daughter's blessed to wait on her mama. I want to tell you, there's a blessing in honoring your parents and taking care of them. And so let's all try to be servants. And I want to say this. You talk about serving. Jesus getting on his feet, on his knees and washing the disciples' feet, that was service. But that was not to be compared to what he was going to do the next day when he hung on a Roman cross, bleeding, suffering, giving his blood, every drop of it, for sinners like us. You talk about service. Look at him on that cross, hanging up there, giving everything. And you know how many of his apostles showed up? Just one of them. The others fled. Isn't that sad? But I want to tell you, later on, Jesus worked in their hearts. The Holy Spirit got a hold of them, and they all became servants. Paul, the apostle, who had been a blasphemer, spent the rest of his life traveling the known world, not in airplanes or nice automobiles, but a lot of the time walking, sailing on ships, riding donkeys to serve God's children. My hat is off to the apostle Paul. What about y'all? Served, traveled, even went as far as Spain. You know, that's a long, long way from Jerusalem. And gave his life. He was a servant to the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, this church, I've been a member since I was 15 years old. And I have known a lot of members of this church who are servants. I mean servants. I can start naming them right now. And I remember them. And they're an inspiration to me. And when I'm dead and gone, I hope somebody will remember that I tried to serve the cause of Jesus Christ. I want to be a servant. I don't want to wait for somebody to go get me a cup of coffee. But you know what? If you're not willing to receive, then nobody can get a blessing serving. So we ought to learn how to receive. You know, a lot of us say, don't give me any money. Don't give me anything. That's not a good attitude to have. If people want to give you something, say thank you. Don't act like they shouldn't do it. Just say thank you. And let's learn how to receive, and let's learn how to give, because our Savior came to minister and to give. Thank you all for your good attention tonight.